Coming up on today's show.
But it wasn't going away. And I would go out and I would take walks and stuff. You know, it's good to take a walk. But still wouldn't go away. And finally, I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And that's when he spoke to me and said, join a gym. And that's when I was like, no, that's Satan's church.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. In just a moment, you're going to hear about something that you could already know about if you have used one or more of the social media icons on the website to follow on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Remember, too, though, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the name of the Facebook group, which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. As much as I encourage you to engage through one or more of those, always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Remember that I am just a one-person operation, so when you write through any of those methods, it really is me who's going to see and answer it. I don't have any staff or volunteers or interns, so rest assured, someone else will not be who writes back to you. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I had this as a social media post just over 2 weeks ago, the day before Easter, to be exact, and realized that if you're not following on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you would have missed this, and it's actually perfect as a ministry moment. So here is what I had put online on April 8th. After all, just because Easter Sunday itself has passed, by no means should we leave its significance in our rearview mirror. And by the way, there was a picture with this of a hockey net at the end of a rink in its usual spot on the ice, although with no goalie in the net. In hockey, when a team pulls their goalie, it's uncomfortable. There is tension, anxiety, vulnerability. Potential loss hangs in the balance. They make the sacrifice of putting their goalie on the bench with the hopes of the extra skater helping bring them a victory. Think of Easter weekend. The empty tomb on Sunday morning followed a sacrifice that resulted in the greatest comeback story there is, the victory that Jesus won over death for our sins. Peace be with you as you continue to celebrate his glorious triumph. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a late bloomer athletically, save for one sport that she competed in during her high school years. In her adult life, she discovered bodybuilding and fell in love with the discipline of the sport and continues to this day to train like an athlete. She became a certified personal trainer and helps others not to be intimidated by the weight room and think of themselves as athletes in training. However, the sport they are training is the race of life itself. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Samantha Lamar.
Hi, thank you.
Absolutely, Samantha. Thank you. I'm glad to have you here and appreciate you making the time.
Yeah, I'm so excited. What a great time of year to do it, too.
In the emails that you and I traded leading up to today, you said that you live in Indiana, but is that where you're from originally? Where did you grow up, and what was the family size, plus where did you fit in terms of youngest, oldest, et cetera?
Well, I was born, raised here in Indiana, the Midwest. I was born in Newcastle, lived in Richmond, Indiana, and then moved to Connersville, Indiana, which is kind of its neighbor to the south. And lived there and graduated high school there and eventually ended up in Carmel, Indiana, which means God's Garden, Carmel.
And how many children were you?
Okay, so I was the the last of five. I'm the youngest, and I have two older brothers and two older sisters.
Okay. I'm guessing that you are a cradle Catholic. Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your family as you were growing up, including any Catholic schools that maybe you attended.
Well, being the youngest, I missed out on the Catholic schools. By the time I was in school, my mother had pulled the others out of Catholic schools because they weren't happy with how things were being done. It was a pretty tumultuous time in the Catholic Church in the 70s. There were so many changes happening, and it kind of overflowed into the schools. And so I grew up, I was baptized Catholic, but I didn't have any kind of catechesis. If anything, I became anti-Catholic because of the circumstances at the Catholic school. Mm. So my experience with Catholicism was Catholics are bad and the Catholic Church is bad. And I would literally hold my breath because that's what my older siblings would do when we go by a Catholic church. So that was my experience with the Catholic Church. And I didn't walk around hating it, but it just, you know, wasn't a positive in my life growing up.
Interesting. Interesting. I usually will ask a guest about their college years, where they went, what their faith life looked like then. Sometimes we'll hear about sports involvement during their time in college. Not this week. Never mind the college stuff. You had an experience at 19 years old that had a significant impact on your faith life, even though it took place in what some might consider one of the last places that such an encounter would take place. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, it is so true. And that's what I love about, you know, Christ and how he did go into the places that we would be like, how dare you talk to those people? I like to go to this nightclub in Cincinnati called The Warehouse, and it was pretty well known. I went in the early days when it started because I liked to dance. And that was probably the most athletic I was at that time. but yeah, it was in a really rough part of Cincinnati. It's since been kind of transformed in a nicer area. But at the time, it was a bit of a risk to go down there. And I think I liked that at my age, just being different. And it was a pretty dark place. I was in kind of a dark place, but I just kept going. And I happened to meet a young man who was a Christian. Why he was there, I don't know. But we met, and we became friends, and we spent some time together. And he would talk about Jesus as if Jesus is his friend. And I'd never heard anybody speak that way before. Mm. And it was just, and he wasn't trying to preach to me or anything. It was just matter of fact. He was like a recovering drug addict, alcoholic. So he leaned on his faith a lot to help him through that. And so he kind of shared those things with me. But again, I was oblivious to any kind of witnessing that he may have been doing. To me, it was just conversation. And then because of that, I felt like, well, I guess I could talk to God. So when I would go to bed at night, I just started having conversations with the Lord. And I should say I would just talk to him. I wasn't really listening at the time. I didn't know that he would speak to me, but I would tell the Lord about my day and the things that were on my mind, very simple things, like I was talking to a friend. And, you know, I didn't expect it, but gradually I really started to feel this deep peace and contentment in my life. And prior to that, there was always a feeling like I needed to be doing something. Mm. You know, something was missing. If I just go do this or if I do that, I should be in a relationship. It was a very unsettling feeling that I had all the time. And I probably didn't realize I had it until I felt that peace and contentment. And then all of a sudden it was just like, I'm good. Mm. I don't have to go out and find something to do. And I just wanted to be home, and I felt calm and this joy. And it was, It just happened. It wasn't anything I asked for or expected. It was just a nice, peaceful feeling that I experienced for the first time in my life. And it was only because I made that one change. And then I quit going to the nightclubs. I had no need for that or any kind of, life outside of Christian virtue, I guess.
Yeah, I love that you just added that in, because I want you to catch, audience, we're talking about when Samantha was 19 years old. And so she said, you know, I was kind of living life on the edge a little bit, like, oh, well, the nightclub was in a bad part of town, but that's who I was then. going out into places like that. And all of a sudden she finds this piece and says, at 19, I don't need to go to the nightclub. I'm good just staying home. Awesome testimony. I want the audience to notice that we have not been talking about sports. I mentioned in the intro, quote, save for one sport that she competed in during her high school years, end quote. And that, by the way, was track. Besides that, Samantha, I found something that you wrote where, referring to the time before you entered the world of physical fitness, you had a two-word description for gyms. You were not going to the gym, and tell the audience what that two-word description was that you had for gyms and what that meant.
Satan's church. I believe that gyms were a place where people worship their bodies, and that it was just very full of pride and egos and vanity. And I would not want to step foot into a gym.
Okay, nobody hit the pause or the stop button. She's talking past tense. We're gonna get to sports stuff. Before I forget, and I'm sorry, this might be kind of random placement in our conversation, but it's something that I don't want to forget. As you and I were exchanging emails back and forth in the lead up to today, you had a scripture passage and the electronic signature at the bottom of every one of your emails. Tell the audience what that is, as well as why you are drawn to that one in particular.
Well, it's funny, actually. Saw that quote on someone's t-shirt at the gym when I was doing a step jam class. And it struck me, it stayed with me for all these years. And it is, if you become what you are meant to be, you will set the world on fire. It's St. Catherine of Siena. And it's, you know, I know without a doubt, each person has a particular calling in their life. And it's not going to be the same as everybody else's. It's so important to be what God has made you to be and to live out that particular purpose. And if we're all living that out, exactly what we're supposed to do, not trying to be like everybody else, but living the way he's called us, then the church is unstoppable. So to me, the way that God was preparing me to really live out even more fully what he's called me to be, physical fitness was a big part of that. Like, I had to be physically strong. And that is why I keep that quote there, is to encourage people to seek out God's perfect will for them and becoming what he's called them to be and living out their purpose.
And forgive me, folks, I said a scripture passage. I probably should have said a spiritual quote, but I think you understand the spirit with which I was saying that. By the way, folks, who among you is the Catholic Sports Radio statistician? Who out there is keeping track of details like this for me? I think that the guest who has the most kids out of the now 221 episodes of Catholic Sports Radio since February 2019, I think that's John Chick. From back on episode 162, he played in the NFL and in the CFL. And 13 months ago, March 2022, when he was on this show, his wife was due with their 10th child. I don't want to steal her thunder, but Samantha, remember Samantha Lamar, who continues to this day to train like an athlete, is going to get your attention with the number of kids that she has, not to mention her story of getting into sports after the birth of her last child. But first, I do want to thank John Knuth, the guest on last week's episode. He was kind enough to make a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. I emailed him with my thanks, and he gave me permission to say his name on the air so I could publicly acknowledge that kind gesture by him. John used the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. He heard me say during my interview with him that this is a ministry for me and that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, and that as a result, I'm challenged to have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to take on all the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. You also heard John on last week's episode thanking me for the work I do, I think, two different times. That's what I hope is one of the things you're experiencing as you listen to this show each week. First and foremost, of course, is that it's helping you in your faith life. The sports stories are great, but moving closer to Christ is the aim here. I'm optimistic that this show is, in fact, helping accomplish that in your ongoing journey. But yes, I do also hope that you're finding value in what I'm delivering and that as a result, you too might be moved to support my ministry as John Knuth and other guests and listeners before him have done. Like John, you too can use the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net to make a gift to my ministry. It's very fast. It's very easy. It's by all means secure, and it lets you type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning it's not a case of choosing from a list of predetermined amounts. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, understandably so, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As I'm doing on this episode by mentioning John Knuth, with your permission, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm most sincere when I say that it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping me tackle the various costs that I face. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Samantha, before all that, I teased this. While I do certainly want you to share with the audience how many children you have, tell us about your having entered the world of bodybuilding after the birth of your last child.
Well, during that time, that was 2013. Prior to that, it was a very, there were a lot of things going on in the world. We had terrorist attacks, school shootings, just a lot of unsettling things happening. And I was experiencing anxiety. I prayed all the time. I was going to the chapel. It was a lot of, you know, just if I pray enough, this is going to, I won't have this anxiety. But it wasn't going away. And I would go out and I would take walks and stuff. You know, it's good to take a walk. But still wouldn't go away. And finally, I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And that's when he spoke to me and said, join a gym. And that's when I was like, no, that's Satan's church. So that's when it started. Because that's where the Lord was leading me. And but I'm always obedient to what I feel like God's calling me to do. And that's why I joined a gym. I had no idea what to expect. I mean, I wasn't completely unfamiliar with the gym and being in it, but I didn't know what he had in store for me. And I got in there, started meeting people, taking that step jam class, and met the guy who, Coach Bellinger, who was doing this power team. And I would see all these people who were part of it. And I was very curious. He invited me to come in and work out with some of the ladies who were all in their 50s, grandmothers, and looked amazing. And I was just like in awe of how strong they were. But they weren't big and bulky, and that was kind of my issue. Like, my son would tell me that I should lift weights, and I thought I'd get big and bulky if I did. And that I saw these women who were doing it, and that was not the case. So I really enjoyed that first session and decided to join that power team, not really knowing all of the details of what it was about. I just knew that I was going to learn how to lift weights, and I was going to train, like change my nutrition and stuff. And then there was talk of going on stage. That's how he worded it. It was kind of sneaky. He's like, hey, you're going to go on stage, right? You're going to go on stage in April. And I said, well, you know, I don't know yet. And then I was kind of praying about it, but I didn't know what it was, but I just thought, well, yeah, I really need a goal. And if I do that, I was thinking it was like the Biggest Loser type thing, like where you have the transformation stage and show your transformation. I didn't know any of the other details, but it gave me a goal. And I went in and we had our workouts twice a week. So I was learning how to use equipment, how to use the dumbbells, the barbells, the different movements, the bend, the squat, the push, the pull. I was working with other people who were trying hard as well. And I ended up making some wonderful friends, people that I would not have met otherwise. And a lot of very strong Christians were in there, and they felt that they needed, like God was calling them too, to take care of their bodies. And also what I found almost within the first few weeks was the anxiety was gone. So it was, you know, the combination of what your body can do for you in regards to anxiety and the hormones and things that we have that can take care of some of those things. But it was also the fellowship that I found in the gym and being around like-minded people who were working on improving their health and their fitness. And then we were a team, and we were encouraging one another and pushing. We would push each other to do better and to do more. So my kids noticed the difference in me, and there were times that I didn't want to go, and they would encourage me, "No, Mom, go," because I'd be, "Oh, I'm too busy. I got to take care of this. I got to do that." But they saw the difference in me and my mood, and like everything changed for me. So that's how I got into the gym. I got plugged into this power team. So there was an accountability there because we would have team workouts. And then it was right before Lent that I decided that I was going to go on stage. And I put that in quotes. And so I knew I had to really focus on my diet at that point. So I'd been lifting, learning how to do that, getting stronger, but I hadn't really done a lot in regards to my diet. So I got a breakdown of the macros, the macronutrients that I needed to reach a certain level of body fat percentage for this competition. And I decided, because of the timing, this would be perfect for my Lenten fast and penance, because I'm going to be very disciplined. So it worked out that way. So because I was able to tie that in my spiritual life, it made it easier for me, because it was like, you know, I'm offering this up. This is part of Lent. So I went home and I wrote down a menu, several menus for several days of the week based on the macros that I could eat. So I had a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of carbohydrates, and a certain amount of fat. And then I just wrote down what I had in the pantry, the stuff that I liked. I made sure I put what I definitely wanted it on the daily menu first, and then I'd work off that, because I definitely wanted to have a glass of wine and popcorn. So those things would be on there, or like a Snicker bar, you know, I would have, and I would work around those numbers. And so that's what I did all through Lent. The competition ended up being after Easter. So it was the Saturday before Divine Mercy Sunday. And I had started out at like a size 8 when I joined the power team, gotten to about a 6. And then when I changed my diet and really worked on my macros, I was a size 0 by the time the competition came around.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
An audience, I'm keeping track. She hasn't said the number yet. We're going to come back around at the end to names and ages. But Samantha, tell the audience how many children you have, because I think it really puts an exclamation point on everything that you just described, that you were off doing everything that you just told us about while back at home. There were how many kids?
I had 9 kids. I have 9 children.
Wow.
And they were all C-section.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So that's, I like to add that, because, you know, there was a time when I would avoid, didn't think I could exercise because of all, I've had over 20 surgeries on my abdomen. So, that was, yes, but it just shows you can do anything. Like, your body just will heal, and it's a miracle.
Wow. Wow. What an athlete. What an athlete. Wow. In the lead up to our interview, you emailed me something that said, quote, "I have learned through my life as a personal trainer that some people cannot live out God's purpose for them because they are physically incapable," end quote. Explain that, if you would, please.
Well, when I say that, that doesn't include like people who have a certain disability that they may have been born with, or an accident or something like that. So I want to be clear about that. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is our bodies, like, He equipped us for everything. And we have...
case in point, 9 C-sections.
Yeah, it's like the difference, like, certain types of things that, like, okay, let me rephrase this. The blood, our bloodstream is so powerful. We know the power of the blood of Christ, right? When we increase our muscle, our lean muscle mass, that increases our blood flow. When our blood flow increases, that goes into our brain. It helps all of our organs and muscles to function better. And when that happens, it helps to clear our minds and take the things that seem impossible, and all of a sudden you feel like, I can do this. Especially as you start to get stronger, when you start to see that you're making those changes in the gym, that you're starting to improve in areas that you never thought you could, all of a sudden the possibilities become endless. If I can do this, then what else could I do? I bet I could do this. So you start to open up more. It's like the Lord opens up different passages of possibilities, and he's already placed in our hearts what he wants us to do. But sometimes we're so blocked because we don't think it's possible. And what our physical bodies can do is they can make us, it can clear those ways for us. It can clear that cloudiness that might be there because we are so lethargic, because we aren't taking care of ourselves, because we aren't eating properly. Nutrition is really important in that as well. And that's why a lot of people go on different diets and stuff to help, like, because the gut health, and that's a whole nother subject we can get into because of how our guts affect our minds. But years ago, before I even got into working out, I learned that our hormones can dictate our thoughts. And that was really important to me when I learned that, because I thought, you know, as a female, we got all kinds of hormonal issues happening. But one way to regulate our hormones is through exercise. And if you can have hormone balanced, then you will think more clearly, and you will be able to make decisions based on more rational decisions rather than the emotional ones that we can make because of our hormones. So all of that ties into our physical health. And I believe that as people become stronger, physically stronger, then they start to develop a hope that God wants us to have. And you start to see that it is possible, and you do hard things, which makes the things that you thought were so difficult to do easy. You know what I mean? So you're going in and you're like, oh my gosh, I could never bench press 100 pounds. And the next thing you know, you're bench pressing 100 pounds. And it's just like, it was hard getting to that place. So, you know, like if you're facing another challenge in your life, that you can get through it because of what your body has already taught you. And it just is this is a great way to practice this, is if you're dealing with something and you get caught up in your mind, because what will happen is we'll think things through so much that we think that's doing something, you know, like that's even a workout of some sort. But rather than overthinking things and allowing yourself to go into a rabbit hole, go work out. Put on Christian music. Like, I would get on an elliptical and put in my praise and worship music, and I felt like I was going to battle with the devil. And I would praise and worship as I was working out, and it would make a huge difference. And then I would step off of there, and so it became prayer. I recommend that for anyone to go and, you know, go for a run. Walking is good, but it doesn't do quite like something that's going to really get your blood pumping, like lifting heavy weights or running or some kind of a cardio workout.
Yeah, I love it. And folks, if you want more information about all this that Samantha's talking about, I am going to put a link on the show page for this episode so you can go and read up more about it. And by the way, she honestly does practice what she preaches. Despite having 9 children, Samantha, you said in one of your emails that, you know, on a Sunday, I'll go run for like, not 5 or 10 minutes, 5 or 10 miles. And that to me is amazing that you do that.
Yeah, it's something that I do that because I just enjoy it. I don't do it to lose weight, and I don't encourage my personal training clients to do it to lose weight. They go and you eat those calories back, whether it's through protein shake, but it's mental health. It really helps to, you know, just clear my head. I get wonderful ideas. The Lord really can work in that time.
Well, and similarly, I love that when I sent my first email to you asking you to be a guest on the show, despite having 9 kids, you didn't say, oh, thanks, but no, there's no room in my schedule to give up 30 minutes to be interviewed. I apologize, but I have 9 kids. I can't do that. You said, yes. You asked me, when would we do the interview? And I have sensed in the lead up to today that is because you are all about your faith.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I just, what the Lord's placed in my heart is to really pull out of other people what he's placed in their hearts. And one way of doing that is through encouraging people to become physically fit, to do whatever it takes to get up and to move. And there's no doubt that that's part of my calling in life. And so I'm always eager to share my testimony so that I can encourage others.
6 weeks ago on episode 215, my guest was Dr. Kevin Vost, who was kind enough to connect me to you. And since then, I've learned that the two of you are planning something together for later this year. Share with the audience about that.
Yes. So I'm in his book, You Are That Temple, that came out back in November. He did it. He has a little story in there, or my story. So if people want to find out more about me, they can read that. I don't know if you were going to bring that up or not, because there's so much more to my story. I'm trying to be very short in my answers. But I've known Kevin, his work, for years. And then we became friends on Facebook. And then he reached out to me about doing his book. And we started talking. And because of this call on my heart to really build up the body of Christ physically, I asked him if he wanted to help me to create a weekend retreat similar to up here we have Christ Renews His Parish and Curcio. So these are retreat weekends for people to go and really, you know, get back or back away from the world and reconnect with Christ, and then hopefully meet weekly to continue that the work they did on the weekend, you know, growing closer to Christ and their community. So I felt called to do something with fitness as well. So a faith and fitness retreat, bringing in different speakers who can talk about the importance of it, who can do some teaching, educating, bringing in resources to tie the two together. Because very much like my Linton experience before the bodybuilding competition, because I tied the two together, I was more motivated to do it. It became a work for Christ. And if you could take a weekend and just focus on that and know that it's not just about, if you're like me and thought it was about being vain, but you realize this is a work for Christ, this is about growing in your relationship with Christ, and then continue with weekly accountability groups, that we can really build up the church, because we are, you know, the church militant. We have to be strong. We do have brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't strong, and they can't be, because that's how God created them to be. And he needs strong warriors out there who can carry these heavy burdens, who can carry the load, whether through prayer or physically. And so the idea is to have a retreat weekend that we can do at any diocese, at any Catholic church, something that other people can do. But we want it to be something that you can duplicate. So this will be the first one that we're doing in September, and we'll kind of build from there and see where the Lord takes it. But it is it's an important work, so that we can keep the body of Christ healthy and support our brothers and sisters.
And I'm assuming that will be in Indiana?
Yes. It'll be here in Carmel, Indiana, or around the area. And we have a Facebook group too. I didn't send you that link, but to talk about it as we lead up to it.
And what is the name of the Facebook group so people can search for it?
I think it's Faith and Fitness. I can't remember. I'm so sorry.
Not a problem.
Maybe I can put that on your community page and put a link to that.
Great. But, yeah. Great. And folks, I want to go back and acknowledge the kindness. Samantha saying my story is so much longer and I'm trying to be short with my answers. I'm very sensitive to the guest's time and to your time as the audience, and trying not to let these episodes go on too long. Email me, comment on social media, let me know if you don't mind if the episodes go on longer than I try to keep them, or if it's, yeah, Bruce, it's really better that you don't let the guests go on for too long. I'm always interested in the audience's feedback. It is important to me, though, as we get set to close, though, Samantha, I want to have you put on the mom hat. Okay, ready? I want to hear about the 9 kids, the names, the ages, maybe if any of them are into sports.
just don't ask me how much they weighed when they were born. I'm always so my oldest, Matthew, is 20. He'll be 28 this year. I have a daughter, Bella. She is 26. I have a daughter, Sarah, who's 22. My son, Daniel, he'll be 21 in a couple of weeks. Maria she'll be 18 this year. Gabriel will be 16. Agnes she's going to be 14. I have Charlie he'll be 12. And then Caleb just turned 10, and he's the last one. Mm. Plus I have 4 grandchildren.
Wow. Wow. Is it too long of an answer if I ask if any of them are participating in sports?
Oh, no, not at all. So they're not in any organized sports because COVID kind of stopped a lot of that stuff. So we're just getting back into it. But my but the older ones were in cross country. And my oldest son, Matthew, is very involved in the world of physical fitness and trying to encourage others in the Catholic faith. So he had started a program. I mean, he's moved since then, but he started a program in south of where I live in Greenwood, Indiana, for Catholic men to get together, go to Mass, and then work out. So all of my kids are into physical fitness. I never preached it to them. They've just kind of followed in my footsteps. My son, Gabriel, he works out every day. He's always lifting weights and doing pull-ups, and he plays basketball. So I see him getting into sports next year as we start to settle in. But yeah, so all of my children do work out, and they do eat healthy, not because I tell them to. I mean, I keep all kinds of stuff in the house. Like, nothing's off limits. But they know how important it is to get their protein in and to eat vegetables and things like that. So I think that just me living my life and setting an example, even with my faith, because they're all very strong Catholic children as well. I've never had to say, you have to do this. They just see it and they do it. So it's been a blessing because I've not had to have a talk with them about those things. They just do it. And Bruce, before we close, I do want to mention that my experience, like when the Lord called me into the gym and to work out and I got into such excellent shape and I felt so good. I actually had more time because I was working out. So even though it takes time to work out, it actually, you become so efficient in everything that you do, you have more time. So I was able to start a mom's ministry at our church, and I was teaching part-time PE class at a local private Catholic school and science class and homeschooling my other children. So I was very busy, but it was like, I had the energy to do it, and God gave me the grace to do it. But a few weeks after the bodybuilding competition, I had something happen in my life that eventually led to a divorce, and I found out some things, and it was a very traumatic, devastating experience. After this experience, I went out and I ran. I just went running, and that running was really good because that could have turned into something different. I could have internalized it. That set off a chain of events that really changed my idealistic Catholic traditional homeschooling family life. We tried to stay together. I tried to stay in it for another 5 years, and the Lord was like, "This you have to get out." But I remember very, very strongly thinking at the time, I'm so grateful God got me into shape before this, because that would have been one more thing that I would have had to deal with had I continued at the weight that I was, at the level. I also have autoimmune issues, so I didn't feel well all the time. Like, I was just, my body was kind of a mess. That would have added to it. I don't think I would have survived. And I know the Lord, and He, not only that, He gave me an outlet. So I had that, I could go work out and work out a lot of the frustration and the pain, and I always prayed. My prayer life has always been there. But this was just the thing that God gave me to help me to deal more in a healthy way with all the frustration and the pain and the change that was happening. Because there was a lot of change, but I was able to at least go into the gym and control that. And then I was able to go in and help other people. So I wasn't really focusing on myself. So I was able to have that ability to keep from feeling sorry for myself. And if I had not done that, I just think I would, I just don't know where I would have ended up. It wouldn't have been a good place. So my obedience to God and getting in there and working out, like, He knew what was coming. I had no idea. So my mission now, when I try to help other people get strong, is to prepare them for whatever life has to throw at them. We're all going to have very challenging experiences. And I've continued to have things happen, and I can see with each thing how it can kind of knock you back And if you're not already physically strong, those things that knock you back will make it even harder for you to get going again. It's like a train. So getting divorced was a very difficult thing because I am very idealistic. I do love the faith, and marriage is so sacred. It was really hard to go through that process, but it was necessary for me and for my children. But I've since gotten an annulment, and there's been a lot of healing through that process, and just a beautiful process. And so there's no hard feelings when you go through the annulment process. It just makes things, you see in God's eyes where things may have not been there to create a strong foundation. And I'm also engaged to be married. We don't have the date yet, but God has been really good, and I remain faithful to Him, and also an athlete in, like I said, in this race of life. So I just wanted to mention that. I think in case anybody else is going through things that they have, to know that it's you can survive the toughest things, but it really helps if you're physically strong.
Yeah. Wow. God bless you, and thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that you added that in before we close. And now, audience, it makes sense, right? Earlier on in the interview, we heard Samantha talking about if you get in there and you do something that's tough, I can't lift 100 pounds, and then there you are lifting 100 pounds. Then when something truly difficult comes along, she was saying that, and now we know she was being kind of cryptic, because it's in your personal life. It has nothing to do with, can I hit 150? Can I bench 200? Whatever. It's, can I face this adversity in my personal life? And you hear, we're all human. You hear Samantha saying that she loves the Lord and she's so devoted to her Catholic faith, but yeah, it gets challenging and says, I don't know if I can handle this. Well, the Lord gave her the strength to get through it. And keep in mind, she was at the gym doing all this while she had 9 kids back home. And now we're hearing that, Samantha, you've been doing all this alone for all intents and purposes, it sounds like. In other words, it wasn't, oh, I just didn't mention, but yeah, when I was at the gym, my husband was back at home looking at after the kids. So, wow, what a testament of the strength that God has given you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. This has been so wonderful, and God bless you for your ministry, for all that you're doing, for your continued devotion to the Catholic faith, your trust and your faith in Jesus. And I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I really appreciate the fact that you're doing this radio show, and I just love it when anybody steps out in faith and does the things they feel God's calling them to do. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, I thought it would be appropriate. We haven't done this prayer in a while, but with Samantha being a mother of 9, it seems only fitting that we close this week's episode with the prayer for parents. So let's do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family, and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is @CathSportsRadio on all those. CATH, @CathSportsRadio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.